WildTalkRadio.com.
The Wild Talk Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure a show full of passion and excitement.
The king's coming. He's coming! He's coming! Yes, he is! Yes, yes, yes!
WTR brings to you The Rack.
Just so you know, there's no one or no way to protect you now.
Featuring two women bringing to you their opinions.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
And their high-pitched squeals about the world of pro wrestling.
The pain and suffering has just begun.
With your hosts.
If any of these ladies misbehave, I give you permission to spank them.
Yeah, I can dig that.
Jackie Feist.
Look at me, woman.
And Lindsay Warwick.
This is one vicious fixin' right here.
Now, through hellfire and brimstone, it's The Rack.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Hey everybody, it's somebody's birthday. Anyway, welcome to The Rack at WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com. My name is Jackie, and with me, as always, is Rock. Hello, Rock.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. And suppressing a huge squee right now is Lindsay Ward.
Squee! Happy birthday!
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm 18 this year.
Okay, if you're 18, what does that make me? Because
hey, I'm choosing 18 so I can be however old, as old as I want to be, so I'll give you the same, however old you want to be.
Okay, take her.
Actually, no, I'm not 18. I wouldn't go back to being 18 for everything in the world. I'm actually 32 this year, if you can believe it or not. So, yeah.
I wouldn't mind having my pant size when I was 18. I would be okay with that.
Yeah, if I could have that and know and still have my degree and know everything I know now and be 18, yeah. Otherwise, no. I know too much now that I hold valuable. So, I really don't have a whole lot to say right now because I have a feeling that there's something that Lindsay wants to talk about or she's just going to scream.
Well, that's later in the show.
Oh, we're not going to do that now?
You can tell them what's coming up.
Oh, I can tell them?
You can tell them now.
We interviewed Christopher Daniels! About 5 minutes before the show, we fucking interviewed for Christopher fucking Daniels! Yes!
Yeah, so I kind of sat out of that one because I don't know who Christopher Daniels is. But my understanding is that he's one half of the TNA Tag Team Champions.
And he's awesome.
And the new face of Impact Wrestling. Don't forget that or he will scold you.
Yeah, I heard that. To be honest, I took my headphones off so I could talk to someone in the room. But I heard that. With my headphones off, I heard that.
So yeah, we'll be talking to Daniels in a little bit.
Squeak.
Okay. So since we're going to hold off on the TNA talk, we have a few other things to discuss. I guess the first thing we want to do is we want to kind of recap Raw and some of the things that happened. And I guess I get to take the lead on that one because I have stepped off of the Raw post show, so I don't squee over Raw anymore.
So you squee here now for it.
So I squee here now. So, a few things. As far as the John Cena Michael Cole interview, I was just watching that entire interview, basically, oh my God, will someone please punch Michael Cole in the face? But to be fair, I say that a lot. I don't know about you guys, but that's like, I would have liked to have that for my birthday. I don't know. And then
we all would have liked to have had that for our birthday.
And then, and the irony of all that is Cena goes on to tell him that, I'm sorry, Cole goes on to tell Cena that Cena is overrated and all this negative stuff about Cena. I'm like, yeah, as much as, you know, there are some legitimate things to be said about Cena, just to have that kind of come from Michael Cole was kind of bullshit. But I did appreciate the backstage segment, because ultimately what ended up happening was Cena got to pick his own opponent, and he was so annoyed by everything he was being forced to listen to, he decided he was going to face Michael Cole. And there was a backstage scene where Cole was just begging and begging to get his ass out of that match. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And I just, to see everybody, including John Laurinaitis, turn their back on Cole, made me happy. I like that.
Yeah, I have to say, damn you, John Laurinaitis, for agreeing with the fans for once and saying when he said that Cole's going, nobody wants to see me get my ass kicked, and Laurinaitis is like, yeah, they kind of do. Damn you to hell for that.
Yeah, I mean, when I have to like anything that John Laurinaitis says, that's kind of when it gets bad, so we'll see. But yeah, I appreciated the backstage segment. And, I mean, anytime I get my Cole's ass kicked, I like to see that. Next was a match, I believe, between Dolph Ziggler and Sheamus, which I liked. I really did.
It was a good match.
It was. And anytime you see Ziggler, you basically know that you're going to get a good match. I don't know why it is that they're not pushing him, but seriously, push him.
They're starting to. They're starting to elevate him a little bit, which is nice. But, yeah, they need to push him a little bit harder.
Yeah, they do. But ultimately, Sheamus got the pin with his two big moves, bro kick and white noise. It wasn't the best match I've seen from them, but when you consider what's been on WWE TV lately, it was pretty good. Then we got word via a backstage segment from David Otunga that Vince McMahon is returning to Raw next week to give John Laurinaitis a job performance evaluation. And you know what, Lindsay, if I thought there was any way that this was going to be a legitimate thing where we might actually get rid of Laurinaitis, I'd be excited. But this is probably going to be something, because people tend to forget that Vince McMahon, or Mr. McMahon, is a heel. So just kind of makes me think maybe he's going to come out on the side of John Laurinaitis.
Vince McMahon was a heel, but they made an effort to turn him face a couple years ago, and he's kind of in a tweener role right now where he could go either way. And we were looking online last night, and one of the rumors is that they're potentially going to have Laurinaitis join the Kiss My Ass Club, to which I ask, can you do that on a PG show?
Yeah. Well, if they do it on a PG show, it won't be one of those things in the past where Vince has had no underwear on or, like, a thong on. He's going to have, a pair of briefs on. And it's just kind of, it'll be... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they pull off this PG-14 thing in a PG element. I mean, I'm kind of skeptical as to what we're going to see, but if it is the Kiss My Ass Club thing, I will laugh.
You're expecting ass jiggles?
Ew.
Ew.
You know he can make a dance, right?
I did.
No. That's okay.
Don't
thank you.
Give me nightmares.
Sorry.
Unless it's Brothers of Destruction, we don't want to hear about penis on this show.
Never said penis.
We don't want to hear about ass wiggles on this show unless it's the Brothers of Destruction. Now, if Taker can make
or
his ass
Dolph
dance,
Ziggler.
I am all for it.
Or Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, Dolph can make his ass
wiggle.
Go pretty good.
So the next match was a match, to be honest, we've seen 100 times before. Sin Cara versus Hunico. I was kind of noticing that they didn't make a big deal about the history between these two. I thought that was kind of strange.
I noticed the crowd didn't make a big deal about the match either.
Yeah. It was kind of short. And, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to it. I think it could have helped sell the drama in the match a bit if they had reminded everyone the history between what was Sin Cara Blue and Sin Cara Black. They just didn't bother to bring it up, but okay.
I think they consider that a big enough fail that they just, you know, kind of shove that back in the, you know, back corner. And yeah. It's like, yeah, that never happened. It's kind of like fake Kane. That never happened to Katie Vick. That never happened. You know, that goes in the vault of shame.
And everything, and notice that you said fake Kane and Katie Vick. Why is everything Kane does always in the Hall of Shame?
Well, for the record, they kind of do stupid shit with Kane. He's kind of the guinea pig, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, there's Katie Vick, there's the fake Kane, and then thank God someone smacked Vince in the head and we did not get the 3-foot penis.
Yes, thank God for that. But
that would have been just
If you notice, Kane's storyline is so fucked up, I don't even think Doctor Who and his TARDIS could fix it.
Another Doctor Who joke.
Another Doctor Who joke.
So you're not normal.
I will make Doctor Who jokes, but I don't watch the show. My boss, however, is a huge Doctor Who fan, so I hear a lot about it.
Okay. Well, next match was, it was your typical Ryback squash match. And I'm just going to start taking a guess, maybe take a poll from you. How old are they this week? I mean, God, every week his marks get younger and younger. Or at least they look younger and younger.
These guys were probably, I would guess, late teens or early 20s. I mean, they're not terribly old guys. They got the biggest. They're indie guys, or they're guys they found on the street that they said, hey, you want to make a couple $100 and be on Monday Night Raw? And they were probably like, yeah, sure. I mean, that's typically what they do. I'm sorry, you know, to see Ryback pick two guys up on his shoulder that weigh about the same as his body weight, that's really not impressive, seeing as I've seen John Cena pick up the Big Show and Edge on his shoulders.
At the same time. Just saying.
You know, so it's, or at least I think it was the Big Show and Edge. But, yeah, it's, when you see Cena do something like that, Ryback picking up two guys that weigh maybe as much as AJ, you know, on his shoulders and slam them down, I'm sorry, that's not impressive. When Ryback actually does that to somebody of significance, then maybe I'll pay attention. But until then, Ryberg, I'm sorry. I just, he's filler.
Yeah, exactly. And my thing about that is I was going to say that I was going to call him Goldberg, but I mean, how much more cliche can this guy get? I mean, that's almost, I mean, it's really annoying, and he's scheduled to be at the El Paso house show on the 7th of July, so I get to watch him squash probably two local guys here. It's like,
Yeah, but it'll be a 5-minute squash, and
it'll give me a minute to go pee.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I'm going to try to talk about the next match without squeeing too loud.
Oh, just do it. It's your birthday.
Go ahead. This was a match between CM Punk and Kane. And even though the victory is questionable, a victory is a victory. Kane pinned CM Punk. Granted, he had some help from Daniel Bryan.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I'll take it. It's just kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, a win is a win. I mean, people are very, and I don't mean just any fans of any particular group. I mean, whenever their guy gets a win, it's the best thing ever. And then when someone gets a win on their guy, oh, they were cheating, blah, blah, blah. I'm the first one to admit the win was questionable, but it's a win over the WWE champion. Kane has not held the WWE Championship in 14 years. And even though I don't entirely necessarily think that it will get there this time, it's cool to see him in the running for it again.
It's cool to see him in the running for it, and I actually really like where they're taking the storyline. I'm not necessarily looking forward to the match in 2 weeks, but I am liking where they're taking the storyline and how you have this love square kind of thing, where you have Brian and Punk and Kane, and then there's AJ, and you're not sure whose side she's on, because I don't know if anybody else noticed the look. The look between AJ and Kane.
The look?
The look.
I'm not really all that much bothered by the look, because and I may just be a defensive fangirl, but I didn't see anything from that look. What I saw is a young woman in AJ with a reputation of being a little nuts. And Kane saw her, and she smiled, and he took off. Probably smartly took off. I'm thinking that she's probably using Punk to get back at Brian. I don't think she's over Brian yet. Or she's just obsessed with Brian in some weird way.
Well, it's just kind of interesting where she's just... I told Rock this the other night. It seems like she follows the belt. It's like, first she was with Brian. That ended when Brian broke up. Then she's with Punk, who happens to be Brian's best friend and who has the belt. And now she's kind of making eyes at Kane just a little bit, because if you read the SmackDown spoilers, you know what I'm talking about.
I did not read the SmackDown spoilers. I have to go read them. But that wouldn't be surprising, because that wouldn't be the first time they've tried that storyline, because Sonny did that with the tag team champions back, tag team titles, back in the day. So, I've definitely seen that storyline before. So, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Filler match, Kofi Kingston and R-Truth versus Rex and Hawkins.
Matching bandages.
Yes. Matching bandages. Even though they weren't really matching, they were matching. Okay, I'm sorry. They both had them on. They matched. They may not have been in the same spot, but they fucking matched. Sorry. I got corrected on Twitter by somebody, and I just, yeah, fuck you, dude.
poking. I like it.
But yeah, so we had a kind of off-the-cuff match there. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth won. I don't think there was ever any question. Next was John Cena versus Tensai, the artist formerly known as Lord Tensai. I'm pretty comfortable, even though I don't like to speak for other people for fear of being wrong, I'm pretty sure that everyone here would agree with me that Lord Tensai is pretty much a flop.
Yeah, they kind of sort of botched that one, although yay for not wearing the shiny shorts this week. But it looks like they're at least making an effort, because they had Sakamoto get involved.
Yeah, that's the first time I think that's ever happened that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, so they're at least trying to move forward with it. I don't know if there's anything they can do to save it.
Here's the thing with it. In Japan, he was doing back and forth matches. They had him come back doing squash matches. If you think about the match on Monday, it was back and forth, and it was actually pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I'm not denying that Matt Bloom can't work. He can. He's good in the ring. He's solid in the ring. But it's just the gimmick. I just don't know if they can save it. I mean, it's just like they debuted it, and then they just expected him to get it over through squash matches with virtually no mic time.
I've only heard him on the mic once that I recall.
I've only seen him in the little vignettes that they do before the matches, where he was yelling in Japanese and nobody could understand him. So it's like, you know, if you want to get him over, especially as a heel, have him be the I'm better than you heel. I went to Japan. I made my money. I made my fame. I abandoned my American culture. I'm now Japanese. Blah, 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 blah. Because, you know, they had a perfect natural feud set up with Yoshitatsu in the beginning, where Yoshi took offense to the fact that Tensai was calling himself Japanese. And Yoshi was like, no, you're not. You're a fat American white guy. So, you know, they could have done a really cool feud between Yoshi and Tensai about how, you know, Yoshi is trying to defend his country's honor and expunge Tensai from that culture, and, you know, Tensai is trying to prove himself against Yoshi, and just, you know, you could have Tensai technically be dominant if you want. And that helps move him up the food chain, rather than just having, again, doing the Goldberg effect, where it's he just has squash match after squash match. Because, again, if you're beating guys, you're beating more credible guys than Ryback, but you're still beating the guys in Superstars.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody kind of took notice when he pinned Punk. Was it Punk or was it Cena?
Cena.
Everybody took notice when he pinned Cena, and everyone, oh, okay.
I think he also He might beat Punk as well. Yeah, he beat Punk as well.
He beat Punk before he beat Cena.
No, Cena then Punk.
Cena then Punk?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I can't keep track. He did them both. But everybody took notice when he started facing Cena and Punk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're supposed to believe, right, that he was this guy who was over in Japan and dominated everyone, and then he comes to the United States and, for the most part, just squashes people. I'm like, yeah, so you were a champion in Japan? Really? Well, then why do they only have you facing these scabs?
Well, it's you can have him do the squash matches, but what you do is you build him into a feud with someone. You build him into a program, so he's still doing the squash matches. He's still beating the crap out of people, but he's feuding with someone. And you put him on somebody maybe in the mid-card or the lower upper mid-card or the lower upper card.
God, yeah. Have him feud with The Miz or something. God, The Miz has been floating around doing nothing. I mean, honestly, it's better than squash matches. And that's the thing. I don't know about either of you, but after Tensai, to a certain extent, Damian Sandow, Brodus Clay, and Ryback, I'm so sick of squash matches, it's not even funny. That's almost all we get lately.
Well, that's their idea of introducing someone, is they bring them in and they have them do squash matches, and Sandow's really the only one I'm seeing that ever really got mic time. I mean, of course, all Ryback says is feed me more.
Mental machine, too. He has the nerve to say mental machine.
Well, he looks like a walking penis. Just saying.
Did you see the picture I posted on my Facebook of him done up like that dude from the Goonies?
Yes.
That's the most entertainment I've ever got out of Ryback. But, yeah, so hopefully, I mean, it's really weird the way I feel about criticizing them on Tensai, because, you know, going back to previous conversations, and I know Lindsay and I have said it on this show and on Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, is that creative doesn't come up with gimmick wrestlers anymore. We kind of miss that. So I don't want to jump down their throat too bad that they, you know, I don't want them to think I don't appreciate the fact that they came up with a gimmick character. This one just didn't work. Let it go, repackage it, and move on to the next one.
Well, I mean, if they wanted to use his history and involve the Giant Bernard history, it's like I suggested to Rock when we were talking about this one late one night, was you key him into Japanese culture that's now. You don't dress him up like a samurai or a Japanese stereotype, because it doesn't work.
And we are in a Western culture trying to deal with that. I just don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, it's you have him emulate Japanese culture now, and again, you just have him play the better than you, you know, fuck you, I went over to Japan, I made my money, I made my fortune, look at everything I am, look at everything I've become, I would have never had this opportunity in America. You know, he disses America, goes off on America, you know, the typical heel, and then he does the squash matches, and then you put him in a feud with someone.
Right.
You can do a Japanese gimmick without going hokey on it. You can do any gimmick. I mean, it's just, I think they saw Brodus Clay get over, and they went, oh, we can do any hokey stupid gimmick we want. Hey! Yeah.
No.
So, you know, the fact that Brodus Clay got over was such a fluke, because I think everybody was joking about Brodus Clay's return and how they were delaying it. So when he finally did come back and he came back in the Funkasaurus gimmick, we were all like, personally, I thought it was a joke.
I was too stunned to even know what to say.
I thought it was honestly a joke, and then when he kept going with it, it's like, all right, okay, so he's doing the Rikishi Flash Funk dancing gimmick. Fine, great. You know what? It's over with the fans. It's kid-friendly. He'll sell a shit ton of merchandise, and they'll be happy.
Basically. Well, with the John Cena Tensai match, that match ended with, surprise, surprise, a win by John Cena. And so, with the added stipulation of John Laurinaitis that Cena would only get to face Cole if he beat Tensai, this means that John Cena got his hands on Michael Cole. And whether or not that was a good segment depends on who you ask. Personally, I liked it just because I enjoyed getting to watch Cole get the hell beat out of him. But Lindsay was kind of pissed she had to see him in his underwear.
Yeah, I could have done without naked Michael Cole on my TV. I mean, I really could have. It's, I think it's more looking back and reflecting on it. Everything that Cole said that led to the match was technically true. And Jed Schaefer gave a rant on this last night on Just Another Goddamn Wrestling Show. And he was technically right. Everything Cole said that set Cena off was true. There was, Cole was actually, and this is going to be very painful to say, in the right. And so, I got to agree with Jed. It's to have your, to have Cole, one, get his ass kicked. Now, while we all enjoyed it, it would have been a better fit a year ago. When yeah. Cole was just the absolute asshole. Nobody could stand him. We all wanted to rip his throat out. You know, heel on the show.
Too little, now, too late.
Too little, too late, in my opinion. And plus, you've got the guy on your, the star of your anti-bullying campaign. And I know it doesn't matter on TV, but still, this is the face of your company. The guy you're pushing as Mr. Wonderful takes an announcer who's not trained in the ring at all, not a trained wrestler, takes him in the ring, strips him to the to his underwear, chokes him, and forcing him to apologize by choking him, dousing him with barbecue sauce, and then kicking his ass.
That was just a waste of barbecue sauce.
Well, I want to get to barbecue sauce in a second, but I mean, it's, you have your, you know, basically seen a bully Cole, where it's, Cole is virtually defenseless against Cena. I mean, yeah, he can maybe land one lucky punch or one lucky kick.
And I think he did.
And I think he did. But, I mean, for the most part, you're putting Cole in the ring with the 10-time WWE champion.
Yeah.
A guy who's, you know, ridiculously strong, trained in the ring, a trained worker, against an announcer who, you know, who's in his 40s, who looks like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was just, it's like, you know, it's great to see Cole get his comeuppance. I enjoyed that part of the segment, but just when Cena could have beaten him real easy with the 1-2-3 and not had to do the extent of humiliation that he did. And I get it was Cole's turn, I guess, in the ringer. They did it to King, and they did it to JR, now they're going to do it to Cole. I guess that's the hazing to become the elite announcer. I have no idea.
Well, at least Cole didn't get set on fire.
This is true. Cole did not get set on fire yet. But my other thing about this segment is, who the fuck keeps three huge things of barbecue sauce under the announce table?
Apparently Jerry Lawler.
I mean, my God, it's like, he's like, well, I just happen to have barbecue sauce right here.
Yeah, that was interesting. I was like, yeah, I always carry around a bottle of Jared's barbecue sauce in my computer bag.
It's a great product plug, but really? You keep three bottles of it under the announce table? I don't know, want to know what he's doing with those.
And I think, judging by the bottle, was the hot barbecue sauce, too. So, yeah. I always keep a bottle of hot barbecue sauce under my desk at work, here at home. Yeah.
Yeah, this segment would have been better earlier in the show, and they closed with something else. But closing the show with that was just a little, yeah, especially with, because there were some really positive points to Raw, and then they did that, and it's just like, seriously, that's what you're closing the show with?
Well, yeah, you gotta close the show with John Cena.
But it's like, you're sitting there, and you're waiting for Big Show to show up, because you know he's there, he's in the dark match, so you know he's there. So you're waiting for Big Show to show up and stop Cena, to push the feud going into No Way Out. He doesn't show up. And they let Cena humiliate Cole. And it's just like, oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, and when it was over, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, thank God it's over now. And yeah, that was just a little bit strange. And I'm with you on the Be a Star thing. I mean, I know why they do Be a Star, because wrestling people bully each other so much that they do it for the same reason they tell the kids, don't try this at home. It's just to cover their asses. But it's just like, at least act like you believe it. But anyway, I have a whole bunch of stuff I want to talk about when we come back. Well, actually, one big thing. So let's go to break and get that out of the way. And then when we come back, I will share my reason to squeak.
No. When we come back, Christopher Daniels.
Oh, God. Okay, fine. I come back, they will talk about what's his name, and then we will talk about my reason
No. It's Christopher Daniels.
Christopher Daniels.
On the show next.
Next.
Squeak!
Can I get a squeak? Right, we'll be right back. This is Jackie, Lindsay, and Rock. Rack brought to you by iBlack and Botch Merch, and we will be right back.
I won't take it for granted.
I won't take it for granted.
So I learn from my mistakes.
It's beyond my control. Sometimes it's best to let go. Whatever happens in this lifetime.
So I trust in love.
So I trust in love.
You have given me peace of mind. I feel so alive. For the very first time, I can't deny you.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans, BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Fresh and since 1983.
Well, that ain't good. You're kinda weird. You always sing everything you say?
And I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was gonna ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com, just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back to The Wrap, presented by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com. We're so excited because joining us on the line right now is one half of the current TNA Tag Team Champions and a man who will be in action this Sunday live on pay-per-view. Everyone, please give a warm welcome to the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
You forgot New Face of Impact Wrestling. That's okay. It happened. I expect you to not get it wrong again. But let's go.
I humbly apologize. I'm so sorry. How are you this evening?
I'm great. I am one half of the World Tag Team Champions, and I'm devastatingly handsome, so all is well for me. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I have to say, I loved you tonight on Impact, you and Casbo.
Of course.
And you guys were just...
I expected.
Yeah, I mean, you guys were awesome, but I have to ask you something.
Ask away.
What is going on with AJ and Dixie? Can you give us any insight since you seem to be all the man with all the answers?
Well, wait a minute now. If you've been watching television for the last couple weeks, you already know the story. You've seen pictures of AJ and Dixie in compromising positions. You've seen video of them walking into a hotel room elevator. You've heard audio conversations of them setting up a secret rendezvous. What more do you need? Like, what other explanation could there be for this other than an illicit, sordid affair between a TNA superstar and the president of our company?
I don't know. I guess I want an explanation from them because watching tonight, I thought we were going to get it from Dixie. I mean, you and Kazarian have seemed to give us definitive proof, but they don't seem to be saying anything. And what did they do? They ran off tonight.
You saw Dixie Carter tonight in the ring, the fans booing her mercilessly because she would not cut to the chase. She would not get to the point. I came out there to help her set the record straight. AJ Styles comes to her defense. You've seen it. They've been dancing around the issue week after week. There's going to come a time when the truth is going to come out on the table, and when it happens, I'll say I told you so to everybody in the world.
Do you think that's going to happen at Slammiversary?
If it does, great. If it doesn't, that's fine, because either way, Frankie Kazarian and myself are going to walk in and we're going to walk out with the World Tag Team Championships around our waists because we are the best tag team in the world today.
I certainly hope so. We're rooting for you here.
Of course. Why wouldn't you? Everybody loves winners, and what are we except winners?
Well, you're winners and you're awesome.
Indeed. And we're devastatingly handsome.
Yes. So, speaking of Slammiversary, I understand TNA's going to have a Hall of Fame.
Yes.
I heard you already accepted the invite. Do you have your speech ready? Because we know you're going in.
I do. I'm ready to speak and be the inaugural inductee in the Hall of Fame. There really is no other choice other than myself. I'm sure Frankie Kazarian will come in with me at the same time because of our status as World Tag Team Champions. So I'm sure right after we defeat Kurt and AJ will be the time that they announce the inauguration. They announce the induction of myself and Frankie Kazarian into the Hall of Fame. And they may even call it the Christopher Daniels TNA Hall of Fame. I would rather they didn't, just because I'm a humble human being. But, you know, they have to give credit where credit is due, and I did build this company.
Absolutely. I mean, you've been there since, what, 2002? Late 2002,
yep,
I think it was?
From the very beginning.
And you've had some just absolutely epic matches from the start, especially with AJ Styles. And if you don't mind, I'd like to touch a little bit on those. I mean, do you still look forward to facing him at all? Or is it just kind
of
like, oh?
There's nothing more heartwarming for me than going out and beating an athlete the caliber of AJ Styles. Every day when I wake up and I tell the world that I'm the best wrestler in the world, all I have to do to prove it is go out and beat AJ Styles. I mean, he's a Grand Slam champion. He's a former world champion. He's held so many titles in this company, so that every time I pin him, all it does is solidify my standing as the best in the world.
It does. And, I mean, over the years, obviously your style has changed and his style has changed. Can you give us any insight as far as any adjustments you've made to compliment him or to further defeat him or anything like that?
Well, all change is growth. And I, as a performer, have grown from 2002 to now. I've become better. I've become smarter. I've added more to my repertoire. And that's what makes me the well-rounded professional wrestler that I am today.
Absolutely. I also want to touch a little bit on Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and that feud.
Okay.
I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
On the feud between the three of us?
It's
what put this company on the map. 6 years later, they still talk about that match, the one from Unbreakable, as the best match in the company's history. And why wouldn't they? It is the best match in this company's history. It's the tentpole. It is the gold standard of TNA wrestling. And will it ever be defeated? Probably not. Let's be honest.
I don't think so. I mean, it's, who can forget it? Seriously, who can forget it?
No one.
It's just a shame, I guess. I wish they had done more, and I wish you guys could compete more. But, I mean, because I think the matches that you had with Joe and Magnus were just amazing.
Well, the future's not written. I'm sure that once we defeat Kurt and AJ, Samoa Joe and Magnus will ask for their tag title rematch, and we'll happily give it to them and defeat them once again. I mean, that's just common sense.
Absolutely. And speaking of tag teams, I'd like to go back way back in the past, back to XXX.
Okay.
And AMW, and I know you linked up with Storm a little bit ago with Fortune. You know, if he decides to come back, because we all know he's still determining his fate, is there any possibility that you two could hook up in the future, either as a team or as foes?
Well, anything can happen. The odds are good that I won't be his friend, because he thinks that he's the best wrestler in the company. As a former world champion, I'm sure he's going to try and get another world championship match. By the time he comes back, I'll probably be world champion, which means he will be looking for what I have around my waist.
Oh, that'd be awesome if you were world champion. So do you think you're going to go after Rude next? Or Sting, whoever wins the belt on Sunday?
Right now, I'm concentrating on the world tag team title. Now, because I am the best wrestler in this company and the new face of Impact Wrestling, of course a world title reign is in my near future. It just depends on what happens Sunday and the next day after that.
Absolutely.
We would like to remind everybody, if they're not in the Arlington, Texas area, they can go to local cable provider and purchase a TNA Slammiversary this Sunday live at 8 p.m. Eastern. Or you can go to Impact Wrestling for more details as well. Speaking of Slammiversary, you are teaming up with Frankie Kazarian to take on AJ Styles and Kurt Angle. What has it been like to work with Frankie?
It's been great. We've been friends for more than a decade. We've never had an opportunity to be a solid tag team. We've tagged in the past, but never anything long term. And now, 3 months after we become a tag team, we become the world tag team champion, the number one tag team in professional wrestling today. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Well,
sorry.
What else can you say but that?
I don't think you can say anything. I mean, I'd have to agree. You guys are the best in the world as far as tag and individually, and of course, devastatingly handsome.
There you go.
And the new faces.
Like I've been telling everybody all along, I'm glad you're finally on board.
Oh man, I've always been on board. I was actually, I followed you back from the XXX days, and I was actually a little sad to see you leave, but I was more excited to see you come back.
Of course.
I mean, what, can you kind of explain what facilitated that? Or, I mean, did you just decide, hey, they need a handsome guy on this show, so I'm going to come back and do it?
Well, back when I put others' careers before myself, when I cared about my friends AJ Styles, I came back to help him, but I finally realized that AJ was out for himself all along, so why shouldn't I be out for myself?
That's a good point, but going back to teaming with Frankie Kazarian, how does he match up to some of your past partners like Elix Skipper, Low-Key? Where does Frankie stand in that, you know?
Better than all of them. That's why we're the tag team champions right now. If Low-Key was better than him, if Elix Skipper was better than him, if AJ Styles was better than him, if James Storm was better than him, we'd be tag team champions. But right now, Frankie and I are world tag team champions because he's the best partner I've ever had.
Best partner I've ever had. Going back a little bit, 10 years this Sunday for TNA Wrestling, what are some of your favorite moments since being a part of the company for almost 10 years now?
Well, just being in the matches that everybody talks about after the fact. I mean, the cage match with AMW against Triple X, the three-way with Joe and AJ, the match with Sting at Slammiversary. I mean, all of the matches that everyone remembers has to do with Christopher Daniels. Because Christopher Daniels is the straw that stirs the drink here at Impact Wrestling. That's why I am the new face of Impact Wrestling.
Again, I mean, I can't help but agree with you. You're so well-spoken. But going back to the match with Frankie on Sunday, I mean, are you nervous about going against someone like Kurt Angle?
Of course not. Of course not. You look at the tag team scene right now in Impact Wrestling. All the best tag teams are gone. Samoa Joe has an issue with Austin Aries, so him and Magnus don't have the shot. The Motor City Machine Guns recently split up, so they're not here. None of the tag teams are around, so of course, what do? They throw two former world champions in the ring against us. They think putting two singles competitors as an ad hoc duo are going to frighten Frankie Kazarian and myself, which could be no further from the truth than anything else. Frankie Kazarian and I are a well-oiled unit. We're going to break down Kurt Angle and AJ Styles in the middle of the ring at Slammiversary. We're going to walk out with our heads held high and the World Tag Team Championships wrapped around our waist.
Watching Impact every week, I know I have noticed this, and I believe Lindsay has as well. You seem to have a lot more fun in the last few months. Are we seeing this right? Are you having a lot more fun in Impact Wrestling?
It's great to be me. It's great to be the center of attention. And that's what I've always said all along. I always told Impact Wrestling, I always told Dixie Carter, what Impact Wrestling needs is more Christopher Daniels. And now they're finally coming around. They're finally understanding that being the new face of Impact Wrestling is good for me, and it's good for the company, and it's good for the wrestling fan.
So basically what you're saying is TNA needs to get another time slot and make a two-hour Christopher Daniels show, everything about you, because you're just so awesome.
It wouldn't be the worst thing they ever did.
I could see ratings going through the roof on that one.
Well, there you have it.
I mean, after all, you're one of the reasons, you and Frankie, I should say, are one of the reasons we come back and we watch every week.
Of course.
But once again, everyone, if you aren't in the Arlington, Texas area, pick up the remote and order TNA Slammiversary 10 this Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and see Christopher Daniels in action as he teams up with Frankie Kazarian to take on Kurt Angle and AJ Styles for the TNA World Tag Team titles. And you can see Christopher Daniels live all summer long as the face of Impact Wrestling at 8 p.m. Eastern on Spike TV. Chris, thank you. Thank you.
Well said. Well said. You couldn't have done it better if I said it. Well done.
Well, I didn't want to forget. I don't want to get scolded again. Scolded once in interview is, never good. But thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, and thank you to the fans for continuing to be more like me and less like yourselves. I'm glad to be an inspiration to all of you.
And you are.
Excellent.
So, everyone, we will
be
right back.
My work here is done.
Yes, your work here is done. Everybody be inspired by Christopher Daniels and be more like him. So, with that, we will be back with more of The Rack right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, proudly presented by BotchMarch.com and iBlack.com. Stay tuned.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants. You know, I
some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret that I, yes, I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted.
Better keep his bumblebee safe somehow.
You will no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebee. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual. Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop. Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it. I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchedMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Self-high-five.
Yo, monkeys, it's me, CDP, and you're listening to two of my favorite ladies, Lindsay and Jackie, on the Rock with God.
CDP.
We're going to your place, and now you got to freak me out. Scream so loud, getting fucking laid. You want me to stay, but I got to make my way. Hey, you're crazy bitch, but you fuck so good, I'm on top of it. When I dream, I'm doing you all night.
And how nice of you, Rock, to come back to my theme song.
It's your birthday after all.
Anyway, welcome back to The Rack. I am Jackie here with Brock and Lindsay, and we do want to extend our deepest gratitudes to Christopher Daniels for coming on our show.
and Lindsay did the interview beautifully.
No, I didn't, but thank you.
Oh, we'll have a talk.
Yeah, for those of you who've not figured it out, Lindsay is a perfectionist. Ah, wow, I almost said perfectionist. Perfectionist. Because if everything doesn't go, in her mind, perfect, she doesn't think she did a good job. I say she did a great job.
I appreciate the compliment, but I botched it. I'm sorry, but come back, Christopher Daniels. We love you.
So, yeah, so Lindsay had fun on that interview, and again, I do appreciate him coming on, and I'm looking forward to whatever interviews we can pull in the past. That was another good one on top of some of the ones that we've had. So
he stayed in character the entire time, which was fantastic. He is the new face of Impact, and go check him out on pay-per-view this Sunday. We'll cover it on Wrestle Talk Radio as well.
Yeah, I mean, he was a lot of fun to talk to. He was a lot of fun to interview. Yeah, please come back and please stay in character because that was just too much fun.
But I think we're going to be talking now about someone who won't be in character anytime soon.
We are?
Yeah, some diva who won't be in a character anytime soon.
Oh, yeah. See, I still want to tell my squeeze story, but that is good enough news that I'll wait to talk about that. So after years of hoping and praying and trying very hard to not just strangle her, Kelly Kelly has announced that she will be taking some time off from WWE.
I'm just waiting for the moment of, oh yes, oh yes, oh yes.
No, I think I got it out. I got it out? Yeah, and so.
For sure?
Yeah, and so I think I'm at a point now where I can just discuss it. And I've heard people, you know, I've heard things discussed and people saying, oh, she's been here since she was a kid and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. She's gone. I mean, I'm sorry. That's just the way I see it. I didn't like her. To me, she's everything that's wrong with the world when it comes to how women are treated in the WWE. She couldn't wrestle for shit. She couldn't talk on the mic. She was given minimal time on commentary and flubbed every single time. And I'm just like, yeah, other than the fact that she's blonde with a small waist and, you know, a big butt. Well, not a big butt, but bigger than mine. What the hell is she doing here?
She sees people like Stacy Keibler, Tori Wilson, even the Bella Twins. At some point, your run ends. And she's picking her spot right now to go, I need to take a break from this and see if I can make it elsewhere.
Squee. Yeah, and I mean, well, aside from the squee, I mean, to her credit, she's been with the company pretty much nonstop since she came in when she was 19 years old. So she's 25 now. So if you think about it, she spent her early 20s on the road with WWE. So I can't blame her for wanting to take some time off, especially with their road schedule right now. Just, you know, wanting to take some time off, recharge her batteries, and be with her family. And pursue outside interests. I mean, if you notice, a lot of the guys don't do this. It's the guys will stay until they're dead, but the girls, you know, especially the younger girls, say, oh, well, you know, I've made my name. I've done about all I can do here, so fuck off.
Basically.
I mean, the Bellas did that. Kelly Kelly's doing that. She's probably gotten the most exposure out of all the divas. I mean, short of her doing Playboy, I don't think she can really get any more.
Right.
And yes, the pun was intentional. And for her to leave, she's been there for 6 years. That's a good amount of time. Her name is out there, at least as Kelly Kelly. I think she's going to have hit a wall when she tries to go out there as Barbie Blank because nobody's going to know her as Barbie Blank.
All right. And this might be one of the reasons why she's still staying with WWE, where she can still, you know, refer to herself as Kelly Kelly in some aspects while still trying to use her real name. It'll be that type of combination.
See, that's the thing, though. I'm trying to find the exact article. Here it is. Where many of her colleagues don't believe Kelly is returning anytime soon, if at all, since she's been promoting her alternate stage name, Barbie Blank, and is currently accepting requests for appearances and endorsements outside of WWE. She added the following information to her Twitter account, Barbie Blank / Kelly Kelly, WWE Diva, Maximum Cover Girl, and 100 Hottest Women. For full appearance / endorsements, please contact Heidi at blah, 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 blah.
She signed with an agency. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so a lot of people think she's not even coming back.
And she might not. It's her decision, but she's asked for the time off to take, to go see what else is out there. Same with the Bella Twins. They could have asked for time off, but no, they decided, let's just let our contract go. Because you've heard them, they want to come back at some point, maybe. So they're going to take their time, she's going to take her time. And it's like, you can't fault them for going and try to be a model or an actress or something. It all works out.
That's what she always should have been, I would think. I mean, she's perfect for modeling.
Well, here's my question. Is she going to this outside agency and signing with a modeling agency and pursuing this interest with the blessing of the WWE? Because we've seen girls pursue outside interests in the past.
They got the boot.
So it's, okay, she's requested time off. Great. You know, you say, oh, I want to go spend time with my family. And then she goes and she signs with a modeling agency. She's getting her alternate stage name out there. She's taking bookings outside of the WWE. I don't think she would be that stupid to do it without their consent, but I wouldn't put it past her. I just wonder how WWE feels about this, where it's, well, you know, you said you wanted to take time off from the road schedule. That's fine. But, you know, you're still under contract to us. You can't do this without our consent.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. If she's not doing this with their consent, if she's kind of going rogue, as I guess you could call it, then we'll hear about it. She'll catch shit and information will get out. So right now, it's just kind of a waiting game. Either she is doing it with their blessing, because it does kind of shine light back on WWE, because she is still technically under contract to them. But if that's the case, I don't think she would be putting her real name out there. If she's still under contract to WWE, then she would be doing all this as Kelly Kelly, I would think.
Well, yeah, there is that, too. That's why I'm wondering if she is doing it with their blessing, or if she's kind of going behind their back and she's using her alternate name, because they don't have the rights to that. They have the rights to Kelly Kelly.
Right.
So it's, if this is getting out and they get word, WWE doesn't need any more trouble right now. And Vince McMahon, with the deal with Randy Orton and the situation with TNA lawsuit, the deal with Brock Lesnar, Vince McMahon, I'm sure tolerance level is at an all-time low right now. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they find out that she's doing it behind their back and Vince is like, fuck her, kick her to the curb. Because, I mean, if you look at Kelly, if you look at a lot of the divas, they've kind of hit the diva shelf life. I mean, I told Rock the other night that diva shelf life tends to be about 5 to 7 years. Kelly's been there about midpoint, so they've gotten all they can out of her, and she's gotten all she can out of them, so makes sense for a mutual parting of the ways.
Yeah, bye. Okay, so Randy Orton.
Oh, the legend shitter. it's one of those things where, oh, Randy, why?
Yeah. I did a minimal amount of reading on the drug that is, or the steroid.
The rumored
steroid that he is rumored to have taken. And here's what confuses me, and this is under the assumption that it's true. It could very well not be. But I found out that this particular steroid is known to take a long time. Here's what's kind of getting to me. It takes a long time to work it out of your system. That's why people in Randy Orton's position very rarely use it. And so certainly, if you're going to be employed by a company that you know has this wellness policy, if you're going to be dumb enough to take any steroid, why this one? If it's known to take so long to get out of your system, that's kind of what's making me suspicious.
I have a funny feeling he may have done it on one of his injuries or time offs.
Yeah, you have to remember, he was out earlier this year.
So I think he was doing it when he was off the road. He wasn't going to get tested. He wasn't worried about it. He takes it. If it takes it longer to get out of his system, then, you know, that would explain it.
And we should point out, we don't know when he failed this test.
Yeah. Because they do give you time, for those of you who don't know, if the WWE superstars do fail a wellness policy test, they do give us, the WWE does give a certain amount of time for the superstar to present a script for it. That's what happened to Cody Rhodes.
Right.
So
same thing happened to Ray, and they denied, you know, the prescription or something.
Yeah, they were like, yeah, fuck you. But they were, I think they had alternate reasons behind that, honestly.
Right.
But I don't think they gave Orton that time, just because it's on the FDA's banned list.
Yeah.
It is hardcore illegal, so.
Randy Orton did come out and say, you know, don't believe what you...
Believe everything you read, yeah.
That the whole, don't believe what's out there, because I'm going to eventually be able to tell the whole story, that, you know, that routine, because he's probably getting hit on Twitter every single second of every single day. How did you fuck up? Why did you fuck up? Tell us, please, we want to know. Tell us.
Well, WWE published what he failed for. Did they not? Or is that just...
No, this is all...
Oh, this is all rumor? Okay.
It came from superlucha.net, I think it was.
Yeah. They've been in the news a lot lately, reporting some stuff. But yeah, it's one of those things where you have to wonder, is Randy Orton done?
He is going to find it, I would suggest, damn near impossible to get back to where he was with this being this way. I mean, one more issue, and he is fired. They cannot risk him being the main event at next year's WrestleMania only for him to fail a wellness policy test the week before. He's going to have to, if they're ever going to take him back to the position where he was, he's going to have to teetoe the line. I mean, no caffeine for you, buddy.
The one thing Vince McMahon is like, sorry, Lindsay. Vince McMahon's one thing he's upset about is he thought Randy Orton has matured. So that's what, you know, that's one of the sticking points in the whole thing is the reports say he was, you know, he was thought Randy Orton was on the right path, and then he screws up.
Well, here's the thing is if you also read that. Okay, Orton may have matured a little bit, but I doubt it. I mean, you kind of look at Orton, and it's like, yeah, okay, you're not going to grow up until you're forced to. But I mean, as far as Orton being done, that's a sticky situation because he signed a 10-year multi-million dollar deal, supposedly, or I don't know the exact amount. It's described as lucrative.
Which is one reason why so many people are pushing for him to be fired.
Yeah, it's a lucrative deal, which means it's probably multi-million dollar, and to relegate him to the mid-card for the remainder of that contract does not justify the money that they're spending on him. So, right. It's, Vince is kind of stuck in a, Vince and Laurinaitis are kind of stuck in a quandary because it's, he's one of your only names you have right now. And he's a name that you cannot trust. You cannot put your belt on. So you're literally going to have to book him for the next 8-9 years, however much longer his contract is, as a jobber in the main event, because you can't put a belt on him. You can't trust him. He's
right.
Got the Jeff Hardy syndrome, where it's, oh yeah, I'm clean, I swear, and then you fail. And it's like, what do they do? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they don't get rid of him.
Well, here's the thing that I don't get. This was allegedly a steroid that they found in his system. Mm-hmm. But he's not a big guy. Now, they do give steroids out as prescription, and that was, I thought, maybe was the situation. But this is outright illegal. No doctor's going to write a script for this. It's illegal.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just don't understand how he let this happen.
You don't have to be completely jacked up, you know, with muscles bulging out of muscles to look like you're on steroids. I mean, I'm sure he took it for one of the returns, or he took it to look buffed up for Mania, to look good for Mania possibly, just to, you know, to make himself look better, to better his appearance just a little bit.
It might not even be appearance, it could be help him recover.
Yeah, it could be help him recover. It's because Edge came out. Edge was on steroids after his neck was fused, and he never got big. I don't know what steroids he was on, but he admitted to being on steroids, because didn't he fail?
and he had a script?
I can't remember off the top of my head. But yeah, some steroids are used to help, you know, your body heal quicker. Especially, that's why Major League Baseball set out the policy when they started testing for steroids, because it allowed the players to recover from the grind of every single day, playing every single day. That's why it was a big deal in baseball, and they've slowly gotten it out of the game. And that's why you kind of see more injuries in baseball, because they don't have the steroids to keep them going every single day.
Yeah, and I do understand that they do give steroids out for therapeutic use, because I think that was one of the things that came up when the Chris Benoit incident happened. There were some steroids found at his home, but my understanding was is that they were able to show at some point that they were the steroids they found were prescribed to him to help him deal with an injury he had at the time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I do understand that, but I was just like, why the one that takes like 6 weeks to get out of your system do you choose that one? That had to have some pretty strong effects.
I mean, again, we don't know.
It's all speculation at this point. We don't know if that's the one, because other people say, oh, it's not the cause. But either way, he's in deep trouble. There's talk of him missing SummerSlam just as punishment, because he could lose potentially a lot of money on the suspension. And, you know, your annual SummerSlam payday, which is basically usually the second highest compared to WrestleMania, it's like, yeah, not good.
Wasn't it like $275,000 he stood to lose if he missed WrestleMania?
SummerSlam?
SummerSlam.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Well, I'm sure he took it thinking he wasn't going to get caught. I'll take this, whatever it is, we don't know what it is, I'll take it, it'll be out of my system by the time they test me, because looking at it, I would bet he either got tested possibly at the last pay-per-view or around the last pay-per-view, because they give a certain amount of grace period, so I would say 15 to 30 days probably. And so, yeah, he maybe failed at either a Raw or the last pay-per-view.
Right. Wrestling fanatic asks, how does order get busted but Cena never does? Because John Cena is the face of World Wrestling Entertainment. He will never be suspended for steroids or anything wellness. He will never be suspended.
I wouldn't say never, ever, but until they bring the next guy up to take the torch from Cena, you will never see him fail. They will do everything in their power to ensure Cena doesn't fail, because the second he does, they're fucked. This is the guy of your anti-bullying campaign, the guy that says don't do drugs, don't do this, don't do that. I mean, it would be paramount. The level of embarrassment would be paramount to CM Punk failing for wellness. That's what I would equate it to. If CM Punk, for whatever reason, fails for wellness, yeah, that would be paramount to John Cena doing it. I mean, it's just, it won't happen. They won't let it happen.
No, they're always going to protect Cena to the extreme until they don't need him anymore. And then that's when he'll start getting busted.
Well, I'm starting to hear a rumor, and I don't know how true it is, but Cena's starting to spread a rumor that maybe he's not long for the business. He's not long for the company. You heard any validity to this at all?
I've not even heard that.
I've not heard that.
Read it somewhere that Cena's saying that, you know, he's... He's saying he's done. I doubt it, but you never know. I know Punk said he's done, but in a couple of years, but you never know.
That's why they gotta restart building these talents.
Exactly. And I think that to a certain extent, John Cena may have spent a ridiculous amount of time on the road, because now, as we all know, he wasn't happy at home.
No.
So, just a thought, maybe now that situation may not be there anymore, maybe he has other things he wants to do.
I'd like to point out, he apparently wasn't happy since the day one of the marriage.
But let's go on to talk about a all-female wrestling show that's being talked about to be produced by the WWE. And,
Hold on, let me correct it. It's not being talked about. This was an idea posed on a kayfabe commentary's release by... with Gabe Sapolsky and Kevin Sullivan. They proposed this idea if they were to buy TNA in that edition. So it was they had a, what would happen if WWE would create an all wrestling show? That's where this whole thing came from. Just to clear it up for everybody.
Okay. So now this is speculation about a show produced by the WWE. So, Lindsay, do you think a show like that would work?
What's the format? Is it a strict wrestling show, or is it the divas running around in their panties? Because I think
Exactly.
I think that one of the divas running around in their panties would do a hell of a lot better than a female wrestling show, just based on the way that they, one, handle the divas, and two, book them. Because they don't know how to book them.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Any female wrestling show in the hands of the WWE is going to fail. Because WWE does not know how to book wrestlers other than tits and ass. The only thing that they, in my opinion, the only thing they ever did with Kelly that worked was have her go out there wearing next to nothing, hike her ankle on the top rope and grind her hips around with her legs wide open for everyone to see. Otherwise, she couldn't do anything else, but they kept her around for 6 years. So yeah, no female wrestling show by the WWE is ever going to work.
But let's pose this question. What if it's just a wrestling show? Do you have faith in WWE if it's just there's just strict wrestling character development? Does WWE have enough creative people for a show like this to work?
No.
No.
Because they've had how many years to do it and have never done it?
Don't go with years and what they haven't done. Say this is a focus. If they focused on it, would they have the ability to do it?
No.
It depends on who's booking it. That's the thing, is they do have people there that could do it, but it's if they let them book it. I mean, it's kind of like the new concept for NXT that they're coming up with that's being booked by Triple H. It would be I'm interested to see what they do with it. I'm interested to see how he pulls that off, because he understands the business, he knows the business, and he is all about character development and character building. He's the one that's kind of pushing this, and I think he's also the one behind pushing the gimmick wrestlers again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were done.
So, I mean, as far as, you know, that is concerned, if you have someone like Triple H, you know, possibly you've got Arn Anderson backstage, Michael Hayes backstage, you know, you've got some of the older guys like Shawn Michaels, you know, Taker. All these resources you could draw from, if you use those, I think it might have the possibility of succeeding, but they would have to book it right, and they would have to sell it. And that's the thing, is they can sell the hell out of it, but I don't know if today's wrestling fan would buy it just because we're all so jaded.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I'm just like, it's my thing with WWE and women's wrestling, it's kind of like, watching a friend try something and fail so many times that you're just like, yeah, whatever. And I have no faith in the WWE when it comes to women's wrestling. Do I think they can do it? No. Because they've never done it. They've never gotten it right, ever. And I just don't think they're going to do it here either. They would do it here either.
I'd have to agree with that.
Is this a point where the audience needs to be re-educated, and this would be a start to re-educate the audience?
You can try.
You can try, but the thing about it is when you have an audience that is honestly largely male, that has
that's not true.
You don't think the larger WWE audience is male?
But it's not as large as you think. It's usually 60-40.
But that's still largely male.
Right, but it's not as large as one would think male would be. Usually people think 80-20. It's riding the fence. It depends on the week.
Well, either way, I mean, even if it's 60-40, I mean, a majority is 51-49. So if you're at 60, you're well past the majority. If you have a majority of men watching a show who have come over the years to expect that women on WWE TV are going to be like Kelly or Alicia Fox. If you bring on, I mean, Karma people make fun of Karma all the time because of her weight. I saw on a wrestling forum where people were saying that the reason why Karma lost her baby was because she's obese. I mean, this is what people come to expect of women. If you're Kelly Kelly and Alicia Fox, or you're fat, I mean, you cannot put anything that's not a Barbie doll in front of this audience, because they've become so accustomed to Jell-O matches and bra and panties matches and spanking matches and paddle matches. You're going to have a hell of a time convincing this audience to take women wrestlers seriously as competitors.
I'd like to just disagree on the sense of they're accustomed to Jell-O matches and that type of thing. WWE's been out of doing that for long enough that I don't think they are. Especially with the turnover in the fan base where they've gone younger and they've been trying to draw in newer fans. Sure, the old school fans will remember that. But as far as the newer fans, I don't think they do, or I don't think they will. I mean, it's kind of something like, yeah, this was done back in the Attitude Era. Well, we don't do that anymore. And I think they stopped doing those matches around 08 or 09.
Long before that.
So
I would say 07, 06.
Yeah, so it's far enough out of memory that they've tried to build the girls as credible, and they've at least built them out of that stereotype of, well, we don't do bra and panties matches anymore. But they, I mean, it's like they were doing a good job for a while when they had Finlay. Finlay was actually working with them, and he was doing a good job, and unfortunately they let him go. And I think that's part of the problem, is they just don't have anybody that works with the girls. Or if they do have somebody working with them, it's like they really don't care, or they don't have the experience to deal with them. I think if they could get, just fucking bring Finlay back.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that. I mean, and isn't he already working for another company?
He's wrestling for Ring of Honor at the present time, but that's not, like, that's, you know, pay per appearance type deal.
That's called WWE will back a dump truck full of money up to his house, and that will be the end of that.
Well, I wouldn't mind that, especially, to be honest, especially with Kelly Kelly gone. I would love to see him come back and grab Beth and Natty and Karma and some women who really know how to wrestle and actually put on a show with credible women wrestlers. I'm so jaded to WWE and their women's/divas division that I just have no faith.
Have faith, man. Have faith.
I have some faith, but I'm skeptical. I don't think I'll ever completely give up faith that they could do something with it. Because they do. They have potential, and you see glimmers of it, and you see them trying to do things. It's like with Eve. As much as we make fun of her, as much as we, you know, disparage her, they're doing something with her. They're taking her outside the box, which is great, and they're putting her into something different. Unfortunately, they've now dropped that. But they were doing something different with her, which was nice to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If she just dressed the part, I'd be okay with it. But they got creative. They did something different with her. You know, if they would just do that with the rest of the girls, that would be great. Mm-hmm. But I think their focus is the girls are not their bread and butter. That's not who the people are paying to see. The people are paying to see John Cena, Randy Orton, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, all the guys. Those are your money makers, those are your bread and butter. So they're gonna come before everybody else on the roster. Then you've got all the rest of the guys on the roster, and then you've got the girls.
Yeah, sometimes I just sit back and wonder would it be better to not even have the Divas Division.
Right. Jackie, continue.
No, go ahead.
Continue your point. I was going to transition into something else. Continue.
I was just going to say, I don't mind them being there, but if they're not going to use them as wrestlers, make them valets. Make them managers. I mean, at least with Rosa Mendez, they did that. They're doing it with AJ. They just teach her how to have, you know, something more than the personality of a carrot. I'd be happy. I'm sorry. She just stands there and does nothing.
Yeah, when you're 2 feet tall and 100 pounds, it's a really bad idea to just stand there because we can't see you.
Yeah, but I was going to transition to speaking of seeing people, Jackie.
Yeah. With Raw getting ready to go 3 hours, and then we have our 1,000th show coming up for Monday Night Raw. The WWE has contacted several of their alumni to come on. They're looking to make this like a pay-per-view level event. And I know around here, there's one name that we're very hopeful will be appearing there.
Duke the Dumpster Drosy?
Not quite.
Brooklyn Brawler?
No.
Bob Sparkplug Holly?
No. Talking about Lindsay's favorite in the whole world, The Undertaker.
Aw. Not The Undertaker. Repo Man. Manitar. Shockmaster.
Let us pray. Everybody pray Taker shows up. Please show up. Please. Say two prayers. One, Taker shows up, and two, he has some fucking hair on his goddamn head.
Yeah, I knew that was going to come up. And that's my other question. It's now June. WrestleMania was the 1st of April, which means it's been, what, 2 months and 6 days?
Something like that.
So how much hair could he have grown in that time?
This is where I pointed out to Lindsay the other night. He has to keep the look from WrestleMania. It's his look now. It just has to be that way.
To which I say, the fuck he has to.
This is traumatizing for Lindsay and I. We have had a switching around of our universes. The brother with hair is bald, and the bald brother has hair. You can't do this to us.
And at one point, they were both wearing wigs. Bad wigs.
Yeah, Taker's wig was atrocious.
We're going to get the bad wigs later, too.
But, well, I mean, and you and I were talking about this last night. They can make Taker's new look work. My issue with it is that they're trying to have him have the short hair with the dead man gimmick. And it doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. I know some people love it. It's literally is looking at just the fan sites. It's a love it or hate it thing. There's nobody who's really in between. It's either you really like it or you really hate it. Mm-hmm. And in the dead man gimmick, I just don't think it works. And we were talking about this last night about how they could bring him back where it's, you could have him do the biker gimmick where he dresses in all black. He's got the bandana, the whole deal. But he comes out to the gongs. You know, you have the bells and then you can transfer into like maybe the Metallica or some shit like that. But, you know, you merge the two characters and you have him do the two characters.
I love our chat room, by the way. Goo Goo Gaga, rest in peace. Baby Taker and Taker.
Just saying. Yeah, that's true. If she hasn't had the baby by then.
But
of course, we were also joking that, you know, watch him, you know, she literally pops that kid out. Okay, honey, I'm going to Raw.
Going to Raw. Bye. See ya. They want to get it locked down, apparently, and they want to start promoting it 3 weeks out, which, think about it, that's not far away, because this year's flying by, apparently. We have a list a couple months anyway, but good idea to bring him back for this?
Mm-hmm.
Good idea to bring him back for the Raw?
Good idea to bring him back anytime.
He's a featured performer, so he's not on. And every time he shows up, people will watch. Mm-hmm. I only disagree with promoting him. I like it when Taker just randomly shows up.
Yeah.
And people are kind of going to already be anticipating him there. And with everybody else they're bringing in, people are going to watch for guys like Michaels and whoever the hell else they booked. You know, Brock and... I don't know. I haven't seen the list of who all has actually agreed to show up and who hasn't. I mean, you're going to have your regular watchers, plus the people that are going to tune in to see all the old guys. You know, you're going to have your Shawn Michaels fan base. We know he's going to be there. Brock Lesnar is going to be there in some capacity. So people will watch to follow that storyline, depending on what they do with it at No Way Out. So you're going to see that. And there will be an anticipation of, is Taker going to be there? And you could tease whether he's going to be there or not. Will the Undertaker show up? It's the 1,000th Raw. Technically, he's still on the active roster, even though you can argue he's not. as far as I know, he's the only active roster member that's left that was on the original Raw.
Most likely.
Besides Sean, yeah.
But Sean's not active.
Yeah, Sean's not active, so Taker might be the only one, yeah.
And that's why he's, you know, fucking awesome.
Of course, I'm sure that makes him feel really fucking old, too, but... Oh, God, it's hit 1,000. Oh, my God.
I know, right? We'll get more into that as the week goes by, because there's so many scenarios we can toss out and stuff. But speaking of Raw and, you know, people showing up at Raw shows, or in this case, SmackDown shows, Jackie. Might as well get it out of the way now before we go break.
That's great. Okay. So, to everyone who's listening that listened last week, I went on a tangent because I was very unhappy.
Really? I couldn't tell.
That's an understatement of the decade.
I couldn't tell.
I want to start, even though I know that they will never hear last week's show and they will never hear this show, I want to give kind of an apology to Chris Jericho and Randy Orton, because I, at the time, based on the information I had, pretty much figured that they were the reason why Kane was moved off of the show, scheduled to be here in El Paso, after I had bought a $120 ticket, and then moved him to Raw, where, as I went on about for about an hour, the Raw show was already overbooked. There was no reason for him to be there, blah, blah, blah. So I wake up this morning with a text from Lindsay that he had been moved back onto the SmackDown show here in El Paso, which made me immediately jump out of bed, pull down my computer, and sure enough, on WWE.com, on the July 7th show here in El Paso, Kane has been put back on the roster, and I was so happy. I mean, the only reason you can't physically look at me and tell how happy I am is because I'm female. I mean, I'm just thrilled. And so now that Kane is back on the card, things look a bit more even. We have Sheamus. We have Alberto Del Rio. They added Sin Cara to the lineup. Christian, Cody Rhodes, Ryback, and AJ. They took off Jinder Mahal. And then also, they added these two other guys. I figure they're probably the scabs that Ryback's going to wrestle. I know I've never heard of them. Some guys named Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Who?
Yeah,
who are they? I don't know. I've never heard
of Punk. I want Punk pictures.
Not only did I get Kane, but they added Daniel Bryan and CM Punk to the SmackDown show. And I was like, oh my God. Punk I've seen in person. Punk was here the last time they were here. And it was really awesome, because after he won his match against, I think it was The Miz, he did this little thing where he sits down in the middle of the ring, grabs a microphone, and proceeded to just put over Eddie Guerrero for like 10 minutes. It was really classy. So it'll be cool to get to see him again. But this is my first time seeing Daniel Bryan, so I'm excited about that too.
Just remember, chant C-C-C.
Oh, that's right. God, this is going to be interesting, because I always try to sneak a little bit of video whenever the guys are not right up my ass or over my shoulder or something, because they're real bad about that here. You can't take 1 second of video and they got you. But I want to try to at least see how loud the yes chant is and see if I can catch it, because I bought myself a birthday present, which was a 16-gigabyte chip for my cell phone. And even after putting all my music on it, it still has like 12 and a half gigs left. So I got, and then I have a card in my camera which holds 4 gigs. So I'm looking at roughly around 16 gigs of space at a show with Sheamus, Punk, Brian, Kane, and Del Rio. So I will be coming back with some media. And
pictures. Pictures. And by the way, if Kane comes by you, just remember, don't grab by the hair because it's not real. Grab the ass.
Grab the ass.
Oh, Lord.
But yeah, so that, Lindsay, thank you so much. That was a wonderful way to wake up. And I was seriously considering selling my ticket back or just getting my money refunded. And I'd be pissed if I did, so I'm glad I didn't. So, yeah.
Well, it was funny because we were talking about that, and it's like, God, it sucks that Jackie's not going to get to see him. And we were looking at the dates, because I'm watching the week of SummerSlam, because they will be out my way the week of SummerSlam. And I'm really hoping that they announce a date for Salt Lake City. Really hoping, crossing my fingers for that, so I can get to see them. But I was looking through the dates, and I checked the El Paso show, and I saw it, and I said something to Rock. Rock's like, no, he's on the Raw show. No. Dude, it says right here, SmackDown, El Paso, Kane and Daniel Bryan and Punk are going to be there.
And that led to about 30 minutes of stalking everything on WWE.com and everything else.
We did.
We were triple checking before she sent the text message to you.
We did.
And I really do appreciate the investigative that you guys did, because that was just the best way to wake up, especially on your birthday.
Right.
You know, to find out that he's going to be here. So now that we know that Kane is going to be here, you know what this means. Again, I have to start asking for your considerable donations to my bail money fund.
They just said that in the chat room as well. So, but let's go to
break. So let's talk about how we're going to do that and go to break.
Go to break, come back. We're going to talk about, we're going to have the squeal of the week at the end. We're going to talk TNA, we're going to talk foreplay, and Chic Tweet, all on the other side.
Right, so this is Jackie, Lindsay, and Rock, and this is The Rack, brought to you by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com, and we will be right back right after this.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone?
Been fresh than me since 1983.
Well, that ain't good.
The drummer from the Vipers only got one arm.
You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, I don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack.
to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Shrine of Inside Jokes. Welcome back to the rack here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by iBlack.com and BotchMarch.com. And Lindsay, you got the joke, right?
I wasn't paying attention. What?
Nice try.
Well, she missed the song, so now the joke is lost. Oh, well, we'll go over it after the show. Anyways,
I'm reading the Iron Sheik's Twitter. I'm sorry.
No, we'll go over it after the show. It's fine. So is that where we want to start? We want to start with the Sheik tweet of the week?
Might as well start with the Sheik tweet of the week.
Works for me. Let's do it.
It's time for... Well, you don't want to have sex with you. I mean, most times I'm going to see many divorce, and you don't want to have sex with me. Well, what is wrong with you?
A week.
I'm going to box your ass, and then you're going to be haunted.
Why is it that never gets old?
Because it's Sheik. Sheiky baby.
Okay, well, should I start?
Yes.
Okay. So, according to the Iron Sheik, quote, today is the national running day, but for the ad Jose Canseco, it is the national you are nothing but a jabroni day.
Nice.
I don't know why he doesn't like Jose Canseco, but okay.
Lindsay?
Mine is simply Rice Krispie.
He just tweeted Rice Krispie.
He just tweeted Rice Krispie.
That goes along with the one I picked. Today is National Running Day, but for Jose Canseco, it is the National You Are Nothing But a Rice Krispie Dick Day.
Yeah, he did three of those because there was another one. Today is an international.
He had five of them.
Five of them.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he did. Another one was, today is the National Running Day, but for the Jose Canseco, it is the National You Eat the Taco Dick Day. It is the National You Are No Good Motherfucker Day. And the last one is, wow. Today is the National Running Day, but for the Jose Canseco, it is the National I'm Going to Beat the Fucking Shit Out of You, You Mexican Day.
Because I got to give King Kins a shout out because he's been doing a lot of work for us the last week. Thank you, King Kins.
Thank you, King Kins.
So I'm going to give
him
the opportunity to throw out his Sheik tweet. And was, today is National Hug Your Cat Day, but for the Hulk Hogan, it is National Everybody Know You Have Grasshopper Dick Day.
Wow. That's, Yeah, I didn't know it was National Hug Your Cat Day. I mean,
yeah.
I hug my cat every day.
It was a couple days ago, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was trending on Twitter.
Yeah, I guess I Wow, why wasn't I on Twitter that I didn't know that? That's probably because I was fighting with my situation at work. But, yeah, so those were the chic tweets of the week. We had definitely more than three this week. But I personally, of all of those, I like the fact that he just tweeted Rice Krispies.
I know, right? I was like, that is completely random. It's awesome. Mine.
He also tweeted Taco Dick. And, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I want to get to the bottom of this at some point. I want to find out why he doesn't like, well, a lot of people don't like Hogan, but I want to specifically find out why he doesn't like Virgil and why he doesn't like Jose Canseco. And, I mean, we all know why he doesn't like Chris Brown, but.
Right.
We need to get him on the show.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with that one.
So since we talked to Christopher Daniels earlier, did you guys want to talk a little bit about Impact and Slammiversary?
Hey, you're missing something.
I am?
Yeah.
I think I need a little foreplay first.
Oh, okay, shoot. No problem.
Ladies, it's time for you to slip into something more comfortable.
Oh, behave.
As now we get in the mood for some hot, steaming, and oh so exciting.
Come on, baby, give it to me, yes, yes, yes.
Foreplay.
Let me ask you a question, and be honest.
Live on the rap.
Shall we shag now, or shall we shag later? Where am I?
Yeah, you always know we do chic and then foreplay. Come on now.
Yeah, we do. Come My on. Bad.
Pay attention. Get in the game. Focus. Get your game face on.
I'm sorry. I'm too excited over my news about Kane and Daniel Bryan and Punk.
Lindsay, who are the top three wrestlers in TNA history?
In TNA history. Okay, I have to suck up and give the shout out to the face of Impact, Christopher Daniels, because he is awesome. James Storm, and I actually want to go with a very underrated tag team called the Naturals.
Okay. Jackie, are children who act in rated R movies allowed to see them?
I don't think so. I think that was one of the big things when Macaulay Culkin did a movie that was rated R, and there was a big hullabaloo, that why would you allow a child to make a movie that he's not allowed to see? So I would guess no.
And to go back to Lindsay's question, Wrestling Fanatic, go, Suicide is number 3, Kurt Mann is number 2, Daniels is number 1. Sorry.
But he was never Suicide. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Nudge, nudge. He was never Career Man either.
They're two completely separate people. In fact, they're arch enemies. You shouldn't mention them in the same sentence. He might come kick your ass.
Wrestle Fanatic, he's coming for you. Lindsay, why do superheroes wear their underwear on the outside of their clothes?
Holds everything in better?
If that's your answer, we'll go with that.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, you know, the underwear kind of holds the tights up a little bit better than having it under the tights. Plus, you don't have to worry about those annoying panty lines because your panties are outside the tights, so.
And finally, Jackie, if super glue is so good, why doesn't it stick to the inside of the tube?
Oh, my God. That's a good point. I never thought of that.
It will if you leave it out in the air for too long.
But explain this. Superglue is supposed to be so good and doesn't stick in the tube.
I guess it's because something in the tube keeps it from drying, and it's when it's dry that it works, I guess.
Who knows? But that was your that was your completely random addition of foreplay. You always complain, oh, you guys do the same old questions. There you go.
Don't ever complain. Okay.
Tim complains.
Whatever, Tim complains. So I went, let's find some random questions to ask people. There you go.
Well, you know what? This calls for Google.
How do you think I got the question? Anyway.
If Lindsay's going to Google the answer to that, just to give her a minute to do that, I just want to say something real quick. That if anybody is interested, go to, let's see, what's the address? geeksdreamgirl.com. There was an article that was posted today about women who work in the gaming industry, and I am the top person featured in that article. I worked for Ubisoft for a few years, and so it's posted there, and I talk about my experience as a woman in the game industry. So since Lizzie needs a minute, go read about me, geekstreamgirl.com.
All right,
and there we go. I don't know if it's true, but there we go.
You're not going to read it out on the air for people?
Fine. Because superglue sets up when it reacts with water, it only needs a tiny amount. The water in the air or on human skin is quite enough. The manufacturers make sure that when the glue is put into the tube, both the glue and the tube are bone dry.
There you have it.
There you go. Nice going, Lindsay.
According to Wiki Answers, I have no idea if it's true or not, but take it for what you will.
Take it for what you will.
Well, there you go.
Right.
See, and she will do that, by the way, in the middle of a conversation. Like, we'll be talking after the show, or we'll be talking whatever. We talk a lot when we're not on the air.
No, you don't. That's such a lie. You guys never talk.
Anyway, yeah, we'll be in the middle of a conversation, a question will come up, and she'll go to Google. And it's kind of become like her Superman thing, like, you know, up and away or whatever. Lindsay's thing is to Google. And she can find the answer to just about anything.
Google's is your edumacation.
Exactly.
Google has the answer to everything. And if Google doesn't have it, by God, Wikipedia will.
Because everything on Wikipedia is true.
Yes. Completely, 100%.
Yes, definitely. So, now, do you guys want to talk about TNA Impact and Slammiversary?
We might as well. We might, I guess, get into it a little bit.
Okay.
Tonight was another live edition of Impact. This one, me and Lindsay were talking right before we did our Christopher Daniels interview, so we thought this show was paced a little bit better.
Yeah, last week was a little bit too slow in comparison. Looking at this week, it had a much better flow, it had a much nicer pace. It had a fantastic opening. I'm sorry, I'm probably the only person that liked it, but I liked the way that they did the recap from last week, then they showed the fallout from last week, and then they put Dixie in the ring, which, to her credit, Dixie Carter just pissed off really well.
Crying, not so much. Pissed off, yes.
Last I don't think I've ever heard the F word bleeped out so much in wrestling in my entire life.
Yeah. They showed footage of her storming into the control room last week, pissed off that they put the conversation on the air between her and AJ Styles. They bring Dixie out this week, and basically she was trying to explain what happened. Then out came her buddy Christopher Daniels and Kazarian. She starts crying. They start to bully her. AJ makes the save. Then her husband comes down, punches AJ Styles. AJ sold it like a champ.
He did not.
Kind of.
Don't even lie.
Maybe, sort of.
He got punched in the face. He fell down, and then he popped right back up again.
Yeah, it was not the greatest sell job by AJ Styles, but that segment as a whole was pretty good.
It lost a little bit at the end, just the way that they did it, but just the whole setup for it, it continued to get you interested in the story.
Right.
Because this actually is one of the hottest things TNA has going right now. People are tuning in to see this, which means they've got something with it. And I know a lot of people are against it because of what AJ has said in the past, but it's fiction, people.
You hear that, somebody out there on Tuesday nights? It's fiction.
Also, I can just, not saying that he's actually doing it, but I can find you plenty of religious guys to cheat on their wives.
Just saying.
But that was one of the big storylines they set up on the show. But the entire show basically was to set up Slammiversary this Sunday live on pay-per-view. Order it now. See, that's a shell for it. But because I don't have the whole show in front of me, but I do have the card. We did see Crimson in action on Impact. He beat Austin Aries thanks to Samoa Joe.
Don't ever give him a mic again, TNA. Please don't.
Where he said he made an open challenge at the Crimson for Slammiversary. He talked about his streak, how it's better than that Goldberg guy.
Are you kidding?
I went, really? Everyone already thinks you're Goldberg. Don't bring him up.
To which Goldberg actually posted a response on Twitter of who?
Exactly. He's right on about that one. So Crimson has an open challenge on the pay-per-view. Unless they're bringing in a star, Crimson goes over, Lindsay?
I don't know. We could maybe see a return of somebody. We could maybe see somebody from the past. I mean, I would hate to see them waste that. I mean, I know Crimson's undefeated streak is a joke at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But to have a younger talent come in and beat him, I think could do a lot of good. Maybe they book Matt Morgan for a one-time deal, and Matt Morgan shows up and beats Crimson at Slammiversary.
No, not again. Their matches were
that's
terrible.
That's the last thing they had him do.
I know, but their matches were terrible.
I know their matches were terrible, but, I mean, unless you're going to put him, because it's going to be Aries Joe at the show, so you can't, unless they put Crimson in that match, you're going to have to find him someone else to wrestle. The only thing I can think, who's out right now, other than Storm?
I don't know off the top of my head, because they rotate people in and out. Go with what the championship says. A John Morrison appearance, maybe?
No.
You can't see them bring him in?
I can see them bringing them in, but I don't want to see them bring him in. I don't want them to bring in any more WWE guys.
Okay, here's a question.
Okay.
John Morrison has said several times that he left the WWE on agreeable terms, that he just needed, like with Kelly, sometimes off to charge his battery. Is that a risk for him to want to stay on WWE's good side, planning to go back to WWE, and then during this quote-unquote off time to recharge his batteries, go to TNA?
No, because it keeps him fresh.
Keeps him fresh, but it also goes, look at Christian. He did the same thing. But we're not saying John Morrison's going to TNA. We're not starting that rumor. People on the dirt sheets do not credit us with the rumor that he's going to TNA. We're not starting it.
We're speculating. That's all we're doing. But I don't see Jomo showing up, because here's the thing. If he goes to TNA, he cannot take the John Morrison gimmick with him.
He'll be John Hennigan.
Yeah. He's going to have to come up with a completely new gimmick for himself, which, God bless him, he's not the brightest crayon in the box. So,
bless your heart.
Bless your little heart, son. So,
so are we both in agreement then Crimson will continue his winning streak at Slammiversary?
Probably, but it would be nice to see him lose it. But they'll probably continue it, but you don't know.
Okay. Also on the show, they kind of set up the sweater wearing tag team of Robbie E and T, as they're going to take on TNA Television Champion D-Von and Garrett Bischoff.
I hate those goddamn fucking sweaters. I'm going to burn those fuckers. I'm going to go in their wardrobe. I'm going to take them out in the front yard. And I'm going to burn them.
Somebody
go get me the flamethrower from Mythbusters.
I know, right?
Wow.
But you see this big 270-pound man trying to wear a sweater. It's like, really?
That doesn't fit him.
It doesn't fit.
Well, that's actually kind of interesting, because, you know, I mean, I don't watch TNA, but it's been a pretty long time. Just from listening to you guys talk about it, D-Von is still the television champion.
Yes, he defends it every single week.
Yeah, people in WWE just don't hold belts that long, so good for him.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, he's the TNA champion, television champion, and that's good for him, and he's teaming with Garrett Bischoff, who's green as dirt. But.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, Devon's the most experienced in the match. Robbie T and Robbie E really are not that bad. They're not the best thing since sliced bread, but they're not that bad. They can work at a pretty decent rate. So, if nothing else, it'll be a good learning experience for Garrett. I don't expect him to be in the match a lot. If he is, he's probably going to bump like a motherfucker. Because that's pretty much
short.
His job.
I'd say keep the match short.
Yeah, if it's not going to be for the TV title, if they're going to make it a tag match.
Yeah, that's what it is, a tag match.
They're going to keep it short.
Short, simple, and it'll probably be in between something, too.
Yeah, it'll be a cool-down match.
Cool-down match. Who do you got in the match?
Oh, the belt is not on the line?
The belt is not on the line.
I'm going to go with the Robbies, just... No, I take that back. I'm going to go with Bischoff and Devon by DQ, where you have the Robbies split. I think that's what I'm going to go with.
I don't see DQ. I see Devon and Garrett winning, and then that might lead to more of a split. The loss will split them up some more.
Because they already started teasing it. They teased it, I think, at the last pay-per-view.
Yes.
But, you know, it's eventually they're going to have to break them off on their own. That or they're going to have to stick them in the tag division because it's a little ridiculous at this point.
Right. Another segment on the show was the four-way knockouts match, where before we got to the match, Brooke Hogan basically said, "Oh my God, you girls are so beautiful. Oh my God, you guys are so beautiful in person. Oh my God." Like, no, seriously, that's what happened. Yeah.
That's exactly what she said, I will give Brooke this. She looked better this week. It was a better dress. It was more demure. She looked more the part this week, which I applaud. You know, they just got to work on her promo skills.
One step at a time. It's a learning
process.
Step
at a time. She's learning, which is good. And she is still very obviously nervous. And I don't think it's necessarily nervousness on camera. I think it's just a nervousness of being in the back and being...
Right.
Being involved this way, because I know she grew up around wrestling. I don't know to what extent.
Right.
But I don't think she ever was involved to the level of Stephanie McMahon.
The one point the promo was effective was when she was talking about how Velvet Sky is now going to be in a music video and a certain somebody, country star, is not.
Somebody got a jealous.
Somebody's getting jealous of Velvet Sky, and that's one Mickie James. And possibly going to see her turn heel in the future, in the near future, most likely. But it led to a four-way knockouts match. Brooke Tex, Tess Mocker, Terror, Mickie James, and Velvet Sky. Brooke Tess Mocker ended up winning this match, and is now headed to the pay-per-view to fight Gail Kim for the TNA Knockouts Championship.
Which I told you last night.
You did. Yeah, she was right. She picked it then.
It's not surprising. She's from Texas. She's the hometown girl.
True.
And I would not be surprised if they don't put the belt on her.
Is that your pick?
That's my pick.
So they don't do like WWE and bury people in their hometowns or their home states or whatever?
They don't travel enough to do that.
they don't travel enough to do that. They're always in Orlando first.
And I don't think she's from Dallas. I think she's from Houston, but she's from Texas.
Right.
I mean, her outfit is essentially the Texas flag. So they're going to try and get the hometown pop with her as the baby face and Gail Kim as the heel. And, I mean, the matches she put on with Gail weren't the best ever. They were bad. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like to the level of Kelly and the Bellas.
No. She's learning. She's getting better. And the match on Sunday will probably be decent to good. As far as the winner goes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Gail can carry her well.
Right. He should win. I guess Brooke wins. Gail's had it for a while. I don't know what's left for Gail but to chase at this point. Go back and start chasing. I'm 100% behind my pick of Brooke, but we're going to go with it anyway.
The question is at that point, because they're turning Mickey heel.
Right.
If you leave the belt on Gail, where does Gail go from there? And they've been kind of building Brooke to this point.
Right.
So, logic states, that nasty L word, states that, you know, they've been building Brooke. She's had these matches. She's had a match the last couple of pay-per-views with Gail or on Impact with Gail. And she's pinned Gail a couple times. Gail's picked up a couple cheap wins a couple times. So they're building to the pay-per-view match.
Right.
So I would like to see her win, but...
I can see it. I'm not 100% confident. That's all. That's just me. Also on the program, Hulk Hogan came out earlier in the show and was interrupted by Bobby Roode. But when he did get to announce that next week on Impact, no matter who wins the main event at Slammiversary, they will be defending the TNA World Heavyweight title next week on a live edition of Impact. But the second time he came out, he was interrupted by Mr. Asshole. That would be one Mr. Anderson. But then Hulk Hogan, with no voice, also called out RVD and Jeff Hardy. And he set up a triple threat match for Slammiversary, with the winner becoming the new number one contender. Thoughts?
Not surprised they got them on the card. I was waiting for them to go on.
Now who you got?
Hardy.
So next week you want Hardy, and we'll get there. So Hardy's, you're going to be your number one contender?
They're not going to put it on Anderson. And RVD just had a shot at the last pay-per-view. Or no, he just had a shot.
Yeah, RVD just had the shot.
So they're not going to give it back to RVD. They're not going to put it on Anderson because they don't like to put the belt on him. Hardy hasn't had it for a while.
You go Hardy. I'll go Anderson to be different.
Okay.
Just to be different. I'll probably tell it wrong. I'm going to go with Hardy. Just to be different. Because I think the way I figure it is, they're going to go Impact Anderson. You can get away with Anderson Rude on Impact, where Anderson's thing, but you save Jeff Hardy maybe for pay-per-view. Unless they're planning some sort of title change on Impact, which is going to be not the smartest idea. But anyway, that's my pick. That was Lindsay's pick. Also on the show, we had a contract signing, Lindsay.
Oh my god, this was a fucking awesome segment.
Tell the people about it.
Unfortunately, I can't, because that's when my dad called me and I had to watch it on mute, but the facial expressions were fantastic.
Okay. So basically, in a nutshell, what happened was Bully Ray came out, ripped up the contract, the original contract, and said, here's, you know, the new contract, you can't sue me, the whole, you know, he can't be held responsible for anything that happened to Joseph Park. That's a pay-per-view. As a lawyer, Joseph Parks was not going to, you know, sign this contract. So basically, Bully Ray bullied him into signing it. And then Abyss appeared.
Which was a nice, nice touch.
And Abyss claims he will be at Slammiversary. And he's coming for both his brother and Bully Ray.
Well, now I'm confused.
Why is that? What's confusing to you?
Well, aren't... aren't they supposed to be the same person?
They are the same person.
They are the same person.
So how is one person playing two roles on TV at the same time?
Well, for this segment, they had Abyss on the
The video.
Screen.
Oh. Okay. Gotcha.
With a wig. with a wig.
With a wig. A bad wig.
Oh, God, another wig.
A guy in a mask with a wig. How original.
I know, right?
Curse you, professional wrestling, and your bad wig.
Except this one, it looks like they got one of those really curly, spirally doll wigs.
That was a bad-looking wig.
And they just glued it to the mask. It was dripping. Because I was like, wow, that is like the most perfect curly hair I've ever seen in my life. Who's his stylist?
How was, yeah, no, like, God, that was not the best, but the promo he cut was great. The contract segment was great.
Abyss showing up was a nice touch.
Who's going to win?
That, I don't know. This is tricky because it's Abyss is going to be at the pay-per-view. Joseph Park is going to be at the pay-per-view. How are they going to do this unless they reveal that Abyss and Joseph Park are the same person and it's a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of thing? That's the only thing I can think. Unless Abyss takes out Joseph... or locks him in a closet or something like that.
Wrestling Fanaticos, I would have the lights go out, then come back on, and Ray has been put through a table.
That's good, except you still have to put Chris Park playing both parts in the same room at the same time, potentially. Because if he's coming for his brother, then somebody's gonna have to play Abyss, because they don't have the technology to put them both in the same shot.
No, no they don't. But they could also do some sort of tape backstage segment that looks like it's happening live.
They could, and that's probably what will end up happening. See, that's why I'm thinking, I'm kind of going along with the chat room, that Joseph gets beat up backstage. Oh god, a hologram. Joseph gets beat up backstage. And Abyss comes out and wrestles Bully Ray, unless it's they have Abyss convince Joseph not to do it and tells him that he'll go out and he'll take care of it.
Quite possible.
But I really want them to reveal the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing. Really want it.
I know.
So. Because here's the thing. He's going to have to wrestle, if he does it as Joseph Parks, he's going to have to wrestle in long sleeves. And they're going to have to be thick enough that they can't get ripped or torn off in the match, because, one, he's got the tattoo, and two, he has some very recognizable scars.
I see him wrestling in the suit.
I see him wrestling in the suit, but they're going to have to figure out how to either keep the jacket on or keep, like, line the shirt so you can't see the tattoos through the shirt.
Either that or a tracksuit. Either one.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to do something to cover up his tattoos and his arms, because that's... He's got... His arms are all scarred up to hell, so... They're going to have to do something, because they've held kayfabe this long.
Right. Pick. Make a pick.
Fuck! I don't know! Make Bully pick. Ray!
I call... Well...
That's the thing, you don't know which one's going to show up and actually wrestle the match. See, with the stip in there that Bully can't be touched, I just have a funny feeling that what they're going to do is they're going to have Bully beat the crap out of Chris Park. I'm sorry, out of Joseph Park.
Right.
Send him to the hospital, and then that leads to the return of Abyss. That next Thursday on Impact. Where you have Abyss seek revenge for his brother. That's what I see them doing with this.
Bully, I'll go with Bully. Bully, MySpace, Ray.
Cause he's keeping it old school.
He's keeping it old school. Yeah, that's where I'll go with that. Why not? But it's gonna be awesome, and that's one of the matches I'm really looking forward to this Sunday live on pay-per-view.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they pull this off.
It's gonna be something interesting to see, and we'll talk about it on Sunday. But also something else to talk about is the man we talked to earlier tonight on the show, Christopher Daniels. He's gonna be in tag team action for the TNA World Tag Team Titles. Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian take on AJ Styles and Kurt Angle.
I say Daniels and Kazarian retain. Just because they're not done with the Dixie Carter shit yet. Unless Dixie comes out and costs them the belt. I think they're keeping them.
Yeah, I gotta think they keep the belts. Because Angle and Styles don't need it, because they're not gonna be a tag team. AJ's gonna... Something happens to Dixie and... AJ runs off, leaving Angle to get taken down by Daniels and Kazarian.
Because they're nowhere near building this storyline, and they've now involved Dixie's husband, so they're going to probably try to get another, I would say, month out of this, at least.
Right.
And have it go to the next pay-per-view after Slammiversary, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. They keep the titles. Speaking of titles in the main event for the TNA World Heavyweight title, the insane icon Sting challenges the It Factor, Bobby Roode.
He's the insane icon now?
He lost his mind.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He's the Joker.
Oh, God. He's that Joker.
Yeah, he's that Joker. What do you think, Lindsay? They built this up for the last couple weeks, and it's, you know, we saw Bobby Roode tap out to the Scorpion Deathlock tonight on Impact.
We did.
In the go-home, and Sting beat him the week prior. 3 times in a row?
Can the title change hands in TNA on a DQ? Do they still have that rule?
Wrestling Fanatic, you're our TNA expert.
Don't say that.
Kane Kitten says no.
I don't know if they saw the rule. They probably don't.
If the rule is not in place, then I potentially see the return of James Storm, and I'm going to steal Wrestling Fanatic's idea. I'm kind of with him on it, that Storm comes in, last kicks, or last calls Roode, knocks him out. Sting picks up the win, but Roode keeps the belt.
So you have him not getting the win.
Yeah, I have them... Because I don't see them putting the belt on Sting. There's no need to put the belt on Sting. Other than it's your big pay-per-view and Spike TV probably wants it. But there's no need to do it. Roode is more than a credible champion. You've built him well. He's strong. And everybody wants at least one more a finale to the James Storm, Bobby Roode. And James Storm comes back, says, well, you know what? I've got my vigor back. I've got my step back. And the first person I'm coming for is you, Bobby Roode.
And then they throw roadblock after roadblock in his way before he gets to Bobby Roode.
Right. Where it's basically, he kind of fucks Bobby the way he fucked himself at the pay-per-view. If that makes sense.
Makes sense. I see Roode going over clean-ish on Sting. I can't see them putting the belt back on Sting. He doesn't need the belt. Because if the eventual goal is to get the belt on Storm in October, changing the belt now does you no good.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Sting is a face. Storm is a face. So one of them's going to have to turn right. if you put the belt on Sting. Unless you put the belt on Sting at the pay-per-view, you have him either drop it at the next show, at the next pay-per-view, or at the next Live Impact. The title changes hands. And you put it on Rude, or you put it on Hardy, or whoever wins the number one contendership. Because Rude's going to go on a feud. Whoever wins is going to go on a feud with the next number one contender.
Right. I'm trying to pay attention to our chat room at wildtalkradio.com. If you're not in our chat room, interact with us every single show we do, because it's an interactive chat room. We read your responses on the air, and we follow along as you guys have a conversation in our chat room. See, Rude's got to keep the belt, and he's going to keep it till October. That's just my opinion. I know Wrestling Fanatic disagrees somewhat, but
I mean, if it were Hardy, if it were Anderson, if it were RVD, I might argue that yeah, you could put the belt on one of them and it would be okay. But honestly, for Sting, because he's a part-timer anyway, I just don't see them putting the belt on him. There's no need to do it. Of course, watch them do it, but there's no need.
He doesn't need the belt. And they've always had this idea of putting the, whenever on the road on a big show, put the belt back on Sting. I don't think they need to do it now. It's not the time to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's everybody's will expect them to put the belt on Sting, just like everybody expected them to put the belt on Storm.
Right.
And yeah, they didn't. But that gave Storm time off that he needed. So I'm gonna go with Rude. I'm gonna stay with Rude.
And just see where
he's pretty.
Just because he's pretty.
You're saying the Joker isn't pretty?
Yeah, he's not pretty.
Wow, what was that?
I was loading up your squee.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that the only thing we have left? Is my Kane squee of the week?
Yeah, but let me finish promoting. That's our Slammiversary picks. We will be on Sunday night live after the pay-per-view. We'll probably go, okay, Sting is the champion. All this stuff happened. And we were completely wrong.
Yeah. Pretty much. But, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this show. Mm-hmm. They've done a nice job of building it. I know a lot of people are complaining that they haven't, but they've done a nice, slow, quiet build with it. They didn't go too over to the top on the go-home. Everybody that needed to be on that show tonight was there, and they did a nice push. And so I'm looking forward to seeing all the matches and what they do and getting a good show out of it. I think they're making definite positive strides.
Right.
Plus the girls got on the pay-per-view. Woohoo! Sorry.
So yeah, order it, buy it, watch it along with us. We'll be tweeting. I know I'll be tweeting. Lindsay will probably tweet a couple comments here and there when she finds something interesting she wants to talk about.
Yeah, I'm bad at the live tweeting. It's too much work. Here's the thing is I like, for Raw, I'll sit there and I'll watch Raw and I'll be too busy tweeting so I miss half the shit. Because I'm fucking around on Twitter. So, like, I kind of try to stop that so I can actually watch right. the show. Because it's like, oh yeah, I got to talk about this, don't I?
Yeah, maybe
now that you're going to have normal cable like a normal person, maybe you won't have that problem.
Yes, fuck you, Comcast! I'm getting DirecTV tomorrow! Yes!
You're still keeping your Comcast internet, though, right?
Yes.
And King Kins will do you a favor and make the Blizzard run for you.
Yes, go get the Blizzard before the show, dude.
So yeah, join us for that, and we'll talk all about it. Sunday night on Wrestle Talk Radio, when we are joined by the one, the only, Alan Wojcik.
Yay.
Yay!
Yay!
And if you haven't checked out Alan's interview with Tully Blanchard and Harry Smith, go listen. It's really good.
Check it out. But now, Jackie,
Okay, so since we've had some issues for the last few weeks, I don't know if it was my turn, but either way, I got to pick the Cane Sweet this week. But I actually picked this one because it's one of Lindsay's favorite Cane moments that we've had. This happened at the Royal Rumble, and I distinctly remember her going out of her way to say how hot it was. Kane, as we all remember, at the Royal Rumble, went after Zack Ryder. And Zack Ryder was sitting alone in a special, quote-unquote, dressing room that was put aside just for him. And how did Kane get into that dressing room? Did he knock on the door? No. Did he, you know, turn the knob and open the door? No. He fucking kicked it down.
Which is hot.
Which is hot. So that is my Kane Sweet of the Week. It is Kane just annihilating a door to kick the ass of Zack Ryder in a wheelchair.
Woo, woo, woo.
Woo.
You're toast
yeah,
now.
Yeah, you know it.
Oh. Got you there. Here you go. Here's your Kane Squeal of the Week.
Is Kane wheel?
What the hell?
Kane's wheeling Ryder out here.
What the hell is he thinking?
And Zach's out of it. What in the world?
Somebody needs to stop this.
Now, Squeal of the Week.
Yeah, and I would just like to say that as awesome as it was when Kane kicked down the door like that, the only thing that was better, and Lindsay, I don't know if you caught this, was all the heavy breathing as he was wheeling Zack Ryder out to the ringside area.
That
I was still reeling. I was still reeling from the door. I'm sorry. That was a solid door they put up.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
With a lock on it. With a real... I mean, I guess they tried to gimmick it. I don't know. But they actually put some... It took him a little bit of effort to kick that fucker down.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So that's the Kane Squee.
Kane Squee of the week.
Of the week.
I'm hoping that whatever show is after the 7th of July, maybe we'll have a live recorded Kane Squee of the week.
Just don't get arrested.
It's gonna
be. Don't have to bail money.
Oh, I promise nothing.
It's gonna be. Oh look, there's Kane. He's at the airport. Here's my camera. Here's my Squee of the week. Wait, where are these people taking me? What? Where? What?
Yes, so please donate to my bail money fund, the Jackie Feist Legal Defense Fund, now that Kane is back, and I'm happy this week. Now we're gonna need the bail money. Just saying.
I'm gonna tell you this right now. If you get arrested by the TSA, you're on your own. I'm not coming to get you from those people.
Yeah, they're pretty crazy.
So yeah, that's basically it for the evening, I would say.
I do believe it is. But I do want to take this opportunity real quick to thank Lindsay for saving my ass on my SmackDown thing this week.
You're welcome.
What's for the those, SmackDown thing?
Okay, for those who don't know, I write a weekly column for a newspaper in Poughkeepsie, New York called Poughkeepsie Journal, which is maintained by a friend of Wild Talk Radio named Phil Strum. And because this week is not only my birthday, but my sister's Josie's birthday, she was also born on June 7th, 9 years ahead of me. And my sister Renee's birthday is on June the 5th. We're doing a family thing tomorrow for our birthdays. And so Lindsay has been kind enough to step in and write my SmackDown article this week. So definitely check that out, blogs.poughkeepsiejournal.com/under the ring, for an article about SmackDown from our own Lindsay Wolf.
Yep. Be afraid. Hey. Be very afraid.
So this is the usual part where someone says, and it's my turn to say it this week. Lindsay, plug your shit.
You can follow me at Linsward, LINSWARD, on Twitter. You can follow the show at WTRthe_rack. Come check us out on the archives. Tell your friends. Bring your friends. Please, next week. At the archives, we want to get more listeners. Not that we don't love our regular listeners, but we want more. So please, word of mouth, pass us on, tell your friends, and go visit our sponsors, botchmerch.com and iBlock.com. Buy their shit. Buy them
buy
out.
Buy their shit. Yes.
Yeah, buy their shit and all that fun stuff. Not tomorrow night. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio, join myself, Rob Parks, and Subway, as we cover the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, we'll be covering TNA Slammiversary, previewing the, No Way Out pay-per-view with how many of our matches that's announced. And there's another debate I said on Raw post-show that I can't remember, so I'll have to go back and find it. That we're going to talk about as well. I made an executive decision, and I can't remember what the fuck it was. So, we'll figure it out, and we'll have it on the show this Sunday at 11 p.m. Eastern with the whole cast and crew. Monday night's Raw Post Show, join Lindsay, myself, and Mace as we cover everything on Monday Night Raw, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be covering the 3-hour Kiss My Ass booking. Oh, Raw.
Yay!
Kiss My Ass Edition, yes.
And can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
By the way, everybody, I know we didn't do it this week, but next week we are going to be doing the rebooking angle of the Embrace the Hate. So Wrestling Fanatic sent us his awesome idea. So if you have one, please send it to media@wildtalkradio.com, or you can tweet it to @wildtalkradio.com, @LinsWard.
It's at Jackie Feist. It's
at
Wild Talk Radio, not at wildtalkradio.com.
Oh, sorry. At Wild Talk Radio. My bad. But yes, send us your ideas. We will look at them. We will read them on air. So we want this to be fan interactive, so send us your stuff.
Right. Tuesday night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. We'll be speaking with the WSU Spirit and Moral Champion, Jessica Havoc.
Yay! Win.
King Shane Williams will be on the program as well.
Woohoo!
Tune in 9 p.m. Eastern for Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night's just another goddamn wrestling show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Check them out. And then we'll be back next week for another edition of The Rack.
Yay.
Yay!
Yay.
I'm done. Wild Talk Radio. Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook. That's it.
And I can be found on Twitter at Jack and Feist. Feist is spelled F-I-E-S-T. And starting next week, you can find my article at blogs.thekidsyjournal.com/under the ring. This week it's Lindsay. From here on out, it'll be me. I'm hoping to get her on the Monday show. We'll see. But I think that's it. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please check out our sponsors, botchedmerch.com, iBlack.com. For Lindsay and Brock, this is Jackie saying see you next week.
Night.
Come.